April, I'm sorry, May 18, 2016.
And we'll call this meeting to order. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is our regularly scheduled board meeting on May 18th at 6 p.m. And present, we have Clerk Bill Bailey, Betty Harding, Roger Taylor, Steve Ross, and Chairman Tim McCain. So we are all present, and we do have a quorum. I'd like to welcome our guests. Thank you for being with us tonight. I think somebody's trying to come in. Someone might want to make sure they can.
There she goes.
Thank you for being here tonight. We certainly appreciate your presence with us today, your being here. And we'll go right on to the Fire Chief's Report.
Okay, so everybody's got a copy of the May Fire Chief's Report in front of them. I'll just highlight some of the things that came to the top for this month. For the month of April, we had 41 things on the Fire Chief's Report. Under manpower number one, again, we're still currently recruiting for two additional shift lead positions. They're scheduled to go to 24-48. These spots are currently filled by general members, and we're trying to get a shift lead to fill those for us. And one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, we talked about increasing this year from two people to four people. And I'll give you an example of why that's so important for us. On the 11th, we kicked out with five calls back to back. So about 8:30 at night, we kicked out the difficulty in breathing. Before we made access to that one, we got called for a domestic abuse case right after that. So I was able to have the second unit divert to the domestic case we were waiting for being staged. Right after that, when I was en route, we kicked out with the GSW, or a gunshot wound on Concordia, or Carousel, excuse me. So we had to divide again and reconquer that one, so we restaged. Right after we got on scene of that, we had to implement the landing zone here, which we have to, every time we make the landing zone hot, we have to have somebody here at the staff. So we reapplied again, and I broke off from the fourth call, the third call, to come back for that one to do the fourth. And right after we had the helo hit the ground with the patient, we got called for a lift assist call. So this is how we divide and conquer, and we hopscotch when we go through that. So that's why it's so important to have those four people on. In the past, we would have just missed that, and because we were set up for this one call, we would have missed the gunshot wound here in town, which is a critical call for us going forward. Number three, Captain Lopez led an effort to get all our operational ladders that were owned by the district inspected, which is a requirement we have from NFPA by a third-party vendor. There's a few small repairs that Captain Lopez and the team are driving towards, but overall, all our ladders came through inspection fine. Under training number five, the daily training for the month of May is on minimum company standards for deploying the host streams for vehicle fires. Captain Lopez, Captain Ethington, and Captain Hemmings will all be conducting those trainings throughout the month. And then number six, on the 2nd of May, we actually start our partnership with Wizard Education to conduct our paramedic training in-house. The training is going to go every Monday and Tuesday for 11 months. And we have five members that are currently in that program, and Joel is one of them here today, and then J.C. Holiday is the second one that's on shift as well. Under procedures and SOPs, number nine, we're continuing to develop the new business model to make our classroom, the one we're in here today, certified as an IFSAC training center and testing facility. When we do that, that'll bring in additional revenue streams for the fire district. 11, we completed our HARP fit for duty physicals during the month for our 2016 requirement, and everybody's waiting the results by the end of the month to see where we stand according to the NFPA standards. On the second page, number 16, the LTECH software is still continuing to work very well for us. Again, this is identifying statistically challenging periods of time for manpower needs, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. And it's allowed us to recruit more efficiently to fill those needs for shift leads where we currently don't have them. Under the CON, work continues on number 17 again to build those paramedic manpowers. Again, the reason for our school of five students. And we continue to meet with Eloy Casagrande and Superstition Fire Medical District Chiefs to make sure we're staying abreast of current changes to the CON process with the Department of Health Services. Under Community Services, 19, during the month, we assisted 39 citizens with smoke detector challenges, batteries and installations, and home safety repairs. And again, these are for our residents that are not able to perform their own work. 23, on the 7th, we hosted the AZCFD Movie Night Under the Stars. We showed Star Wars 4. We had a really good event with people in costumes. We had approximately 100 people attend that event as well. And on 26th, we started to kick off our summer hosting safety activities program. This is a summer activities program that I'm championing for Arizona City for the 8 weeks of summer vacation. I made a presentation to the governor, that would be Steve Ross as well, at the Moose to try to get support for that, as well as trying to get all the pastors together at the local churches. To have an event for the kids this summer twice a week, where we do a little sports activity and then maybe make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a hot dog and chips and water to give them some lunch. And then on the third day of that week, just do a little bit of water program, spraying water from the ladder truck, and coordinating with local businesses to see if we can get some of the water blow up inflatables as well. Very similar to what we do at Freedom Family Church for the community days. And again, one on this one, help is definitely needed. The allocations aren't too bad right now, but it's the adults for help that I need. It's just tough during the day for a lot of our adults that are still working. I know we presented it with Steve at the Moose Club, and we have a lot of interest there as well, and some previous coaches. It's just trying to get those adults in to help us with that as well, to drive that. Unfortunately, we know what the Boys and Girls Club of Casa Grande, or Arizona City, meets in Casa Grande. It's just impossible for those kids to get to Casa Grande during the summertime when the parents are gone. So if we don't do something ourselves, there's going to be nothing for these children to do. So I'd rather invest those dollars and resources up front than to put it in the back end and start responding for some of these calls this summer. So the Moose Club has stepped up to help us with some coaches. First Baptist Church across the street, they have an activities trailer there out of their main church in Tucson. They're going to try to make available for us. It has basketball goals, basketballs, footballs, baseballs, soccer balls, and some goals. We're going to try to borrow that as much as we can during those 8 weeks. But my goal is to kind of start at the fire department, have one with the Moose, one with each of the churches, and then come back and do a combined one with the Moose and the fire district again for the 8 weeks for us. We just know there's not a lot of activities for the kids here in the summer, so this will at least give them something twice a week where they can come and enjoy and get a meal, a small meal, but still get a meal no less than the same. So we're working on that one heavily. Under school events and groups, 28, on the 30th of April, the association and the district held their monthly spaghetti dinner at the firehouse from 5 to 8. On the 29th, number 29, on the 30th, the district supported the Arizona City Young Women's Group with a car wash, bake sale, and garage sale. And the event ran from 5 to 2, and we have a thank you card for that. And then number 30, on the 5th of May, we participated in the ACES Reading Night. This is where the on-duty crew and myself goes to the school and read books to the kids for 90 minutes in the library for our community give back program. And finally, on the last page, number 34, on the 15th of the month, Ninja Company of Four and myself went to Central Arizona College this past Sunday to support the Cabot Live Burn exercise. We left about 6:30 in the morning. We were there until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to support their process with our engine and our manpower as well, so they could do the live burn to graduate the students from Cabot. And 35 and the 17th, we held the water fun days for the ACES school from 9 to 2. And number 36 on the 17th, I attended the Arizona City Fire Chiefs Association of Pinal County in Florence from 6 to 10. And under contracts and business issues, 38, we have basically three ongoing projects. One is for the emergency generator project with AirBeam. That's ongoing. We're still getting the logistics for the switchovers. 39, we have another ongoing project with AirBeam for the satellite dish. This is going to be another revenue source into the district for cable service to the residents here in Arizona City. And then number 40 again, ongoing for contract writing with Central Arizona College for the use of the drill tower for previously exchanged and donated equipment. And we have a new program manager for CAC that I'm working with to get our days back on the calendar. We had donated an engine a few years ago, so we have about 20 days in the calendar where we can use that tower. We just have to get that recertified with the new program manager for the fire service program at CAC. And that's the highlights of the 41 items. If anybody has any other questions, I'm happy to answer those as well.
Chief, I noticed under item number 27. Attending citizens on patrol meetings throughout the month. How often do they meet?
Well, it depends. In the wintertime, they meet weekly.
Okay.
And Gene's last name, Captain? Anyway,
he's my neighbor.
Yeah, he knows.
I don't.
Can't think of enough. But in the wintertime, it's more formal than the summertime. Summer at Trisha's Diner, summer in home, summer at Jim and Laura's works his house as well. So it just depends. The group on Monaco meet pretty regularly on a weekly basis from October to March.
Seems to me like that'd be a perfect opportunity for you to kind of help them. I mean, they're out in the community just to give them extra things to look for.
Yeah.
It would help us.
Absolutely.
I know the one thing I noticed a lot around here occasionally is you'll see some garages where the garage, in fact, I saw one today. The garage was slanted like this, so it was broken, and the garage was packed full of stuff. And, you know, to note that on any kind of information you might have so that, you know, when you respond to that location, you know you got your hands full from the beginning. It's just amazing what you find crammed into these garages around town. So,
and we knew as many of the functions. Captain Lopez and a crew went down on Monaco and did their annual summer picnic before they leave. And Captain Lopez spoke for 45 minutes to the group on just stuff like that as well, too. And I try to catch as many as I can throughout the month.
Great. Good job.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
We want to move to the staff reports. It'll be number 6 in your book.
All right, so for April 1st to April 30th, we ran a total of 130 calls. 85 of those were rescue EMS calls, 24 were service calls, 8 were good intention calls, 10 were false alarms or false calls, 2 were special types of incidents, for a total of 130. And if you turn to the second page, you'll see the breakdown in our NIPRS report. On line 19 is the total amount of fires for the month, which is 1. You'll see line 20, the rescue emergency medical responses were 85. False alarms, that matches the first report from the image trend, is 10. We had mutual aid given, was 1. All other response for, again, the smoke scares, lookout, animal rescues, lockouts, etc., 33, for a total of 130. And if you turn to the next page, this is the incidents and injuries and accidents for the district for the month of April. You'll see that the total accidents and injuries for the month are 0. And then when you turn to the next page, you'll see this is our breakdown for just the 85 emergency response calls. 63 of those were treated and transferred care. 5 were treated and released. 14 were patient refused care, and 2 were deceased at the scene when we got there, for a total of 85 calls. And the last page is our fractile response time. This is where we saw a challenge last month. We had some people that were unfortunately using the wrong numbers, and both our fractile response time and our average response time was a little higher. For the month of April, our 90% fractile response time was 6 minutes and 19 seconds, and our average response time, which we're trying to get less than 5 minutes every month, even on those back-to-back-to-back calls, for the month of April, we were 4 minutes and 32 seconds. So we hit our fractile response time goal for that.
That's amazing. Okay. Any questions? All right. Chief, do we have any correspondence?
We do. We have one from the residents that want to thank all of you for came to my aid. On her address that she wanted to give this donation. She gave a $100 donation that we gave to the association for the great work that we did as well, and that was from Carol Eads. We got a thank you card from Banner Casa Grande Hospital thanking everybody here for EMS Strong called the Care Week, which was last week for us, and they did a barbecue from Banner Casa Grande Hospital. We received another correspondence from the Young Women's Club of Arizona City. Thanking us, we'd like to thank you for allowing our group fundraiser facilities for the fundraiser yesterday on April 30th. Everything went well. We were able to raise enough money for all the girls to go to camp. Yay! We really appreciate all your help. Sincerely, the young women and leaders from the Arizona City. And we also got one from my mother thanking the district for flowers for my father.
Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda, all the items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item for further discussion. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, that would be Betty Harding making the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And that would be Steve Ross making the second. All approve, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any disapprove? All right, that would be a unanimous yes. I get unanimous and anonymous consent sometimes. Unanimous consent.
Call it what you like. I think we know.
Sure. All of us voted yes. We'll say that way. Call to the public. I do not have any yellow cards, so I don't believe we have any anything from the public. Moving on to the old business. We'll just start with number one, discussion and possible action regarding Chief Heaton's contract. And Chief, I know you had already talked to me about going possibly to executive session. Do you want us to just do that? Okay. So we'll take I'll make a motion that we go to executive session regarding his contract pursuant to, let's see, what is this number here? ARS 38-431.03A1. And that would be for personnel items.
I'll second the motion.
And Bill Bailey is seconding that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And so we will move to executive session. All right, so we are back in our regular session. And old business number one, discussion of possible action of Chief Heaton's contract. We discussed the life insurance. And I think at this point we are ready to make a motion to accept that change to the life insurance. I'll make that motion. Does anyone care to second that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Bill is going to second that motion. and so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And so moved. That would be everyone. Even though Bill said aye really late.
Sure.
Okay. And that really takes care of number three also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same time?
Yes.
So we are done with number one and three. And we can move to number two, discussion possible action regarding Summer Sports League for Children in Arizona City, Chief.
So again, this kind of goes on for the Chief's report we talked about again. We're trying to get two events per week, both from 10 to 12, Tuesday and Thursday, as soon as the school's out, which is week after next, as I understand that correctly.
School's out.
Next week, excuse me.
School's out today.
Yeah, so next week
we
start.
Okay. Yes.
To try to get a program together, simple things, the Moose and Steve, as the governor, stepped up to help us as well, the local churches. We're just trying to get manpower is the big thing we need right now to try to put these programs together. For the kids, it's just a general activity, and in a small budget for either peanut butter, jelly, chips and water, or hot dogs, chips and water as well.
You know how many kids?
We've never done it.
Right.
So, I'm going to say we're from 50 to 200 probably.
Well, somebody was telling me that Arizona City has a Boys and Girls Club at the school.
It closes for the summer.
Oh,
it closes during the summer. Yeah.
So you have to go to college.
Isn't that kind of weird? Why would they do that?
Because they couldn't afford. I actually spoke to one of the guys that's over it, and they couldn't afford to maintain it here in town because they. Over the summer, the school charges per head, basically, of the kids, and it's going to cost them something like $5,000 a month to use the school building, and they could not afford it.
We don't make enough spaghetti dinners, then, do we?
Right. Just kind of completely off topic, sort of, but I've talked to them about next year doing something different.
So. I go in, we got Moose meetings tomorrow. I got a sign-up sheet, so I'll try to push some more. I know I'm going to sign up. My wife's probably going to sign.
Good.
I got a few people. They're again, some of these people still works.
Yeah.
They're trying to squeeze this in. So,
what are the ages of the young people? What is the ages that you invited?
We were looking at third grade through eighth grade.
Third through eighth.
The ideas are somewhat self-sufficient. We thought if we could attend it to, at least maybe they could walk in groups and go home in groups. Some of the churches and said, well, we'll go pick them up, but you can't transport people unless you have a special license for an activity like that. So, and if we look at the different churches as well and, you know, walk between the Moose Club and ourselves, we've never done this before. It's an issue I would like to try to do because I know there's, to the point earlier, because the school shuts down this summer, the only avenue for the Boys and Girls Club of Arizona City is to go all the way to Casa Grande, which I was told today the building's been cut in half, so they're already pre-stacked, and the pool has less hours for the city now than what it had last summer, the budget cuts. So it's going to be challenging, and we know our kids aren't going to get there. So whatever we do will be a step in the right direction. It'll just maybe be a smaller program this summer, and it'll build for much help.
What dates? Tuesday and Thursday?
Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Thursdays will basically be the water day. Captain Lopez and I talked about putting the ladder truck up on the west side of the building and just spraying water for the kids to go through. Captain Lopez was at the school from, what was it, 9 to 2 yesterday? 9 to 2, and the kids had a ball doing it, and it ends up turning into a large mud pit when it's all said and done, but you know, the kids have a ball every summer doing that, and they look forward to Captain Lopez bringing the crew down to do that. He's done it for the several last years for us. It was a great feedback. I've got several calls.
Are we still going to have that meeting, or are we just kind of going with this?
My goal was to have a meeting last month and this month, but I can't get people together to make that happen. Okay. There's always two or three people at a time.
So we're just going to shoot from the cuff and hope it sticks.
Well, what I've done is I've met with all the pastors independently.
Okay.
I met with the Moose independently, and I'm trying to see if we have enough help to get it back.
Okay.
You know, Captain Lopez and I are going to drive it, but if we get a call, we have to leave.
Right.
And that's where I need help to make that happen.
Make sure somebody's here. Okay.
Chief, you mentioned two sessions a day. Is that still what you have?
No, one session, 2 days a week. So a 10 to 2 on Tuesday, and a 10 to 2 on Thursday.
Okay, good.
And a 10 to 2 on Thursday will just be a water day.
So the meetings you had with the pastors, are they interested?
Yeah, they are. Matter of fact, as I said,
they want to volunteer, some of their people want to volunteer to it?
They're having the same struggle we're having, that a lot of their parishioners are still working. The most aggressive, I think, is the First Baptist Church across the street with Pastor Keith Durham. That's who has the sports trailer out of the Tucson office, and he's checking on now to see if he can get on a Tuesday. The trailer's booked every Saturday and Sunday throughout the summertime, but he believes Tuesdays is a lull, so he's going to try to see how many of those Tuesdays he can get that trailer for us. That's kind of a, you know, a tow-and-go type trailer. You open the back, and balls and goals and footballs and everything comes out of it, and you use as much as you can, you put it back when you're, that'd be nice. And then they also have a playground. You know, maybe we could get the trailer and then do one at Freedom Family, do one at Heaven's Gate, do one for the Moose, do one here. You know, we're 5 weeks through the summer.
Yep.
We'll go from there. But what we direly need right now is adults to help us with those two time periods from 10 to 2 on Tuesday and 10 to 2 on Thursday.
And so you're starting next Tuesday,
yes,
and it will be here at the firehouse or at the Moose?
Right now it's set for the firehouse.
Okay.
I'll be there next Tuesday. I can't do Thursdays, but I can do Tuesday.
So next Thursday or Tuesday?
Tuesday is the first one.
24. I could probably be here next Tuesday.
We may end up doing dodgeball or something simple as we get started, if we can't get the trailer in, but we'll have build teams and talk about a little fire prevention and, you know, be going with the hot dogs and chips and water bottles are about the most inexpensive way we can go for the kids and power type of deal.
Yeah. All right, anything else regarding that? Let's go down to new business. Let's skip to number 2 first, and then we'll go back to number 1 because this is pretty much just probably informational more than anything. Discussion and possible action regarding 2016 AFDA conference, July 14th through 16th.
So this year, the AFCA and AFDA conferences have joined together to do it for a continuous total of 10 days. So this is the summer conference of the winter conference we went to in Laughlin. There are no required courses for the board members to go. It's up in Glendale this year. So it's informational at this time. But for the board members, if you'd like to go for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday sessions, 3 days at $45 would be approximately $135 or per diem. The mileage at the new state limit of 55.5 cents for roughly 151.2 miles comes to $83.92. So for a total for each member to go would be approximately $218.92 plus hotel.
Is this going to be the same old classes that we've all seen?
No, if you actually look through that, that's why I wanted to get it out now so you have some time to look through. You're going to see a lot of open forum round tables. I don't want to be biased, but several of those don't have a lot of value, depending on who you are. So there's always value for some of the classes to go through. Pepper and I looked through the other day. There's plenty of sessions where you can get value. But if you look through, there's some in the afternoon sessions where it's open forum and round table on both classes, and then like the filler class in the middle. So there's no legal statute requirement for people to take training. Everybody's good now. But I want to open it up for everybody to see that, and you can make a decision from there. And that's something that's food for thought. The deadline for the hotels
is the 19th
of June. So we have some time between now and our next meeting. So you can peruse that at your leisure and see if you'd like to go.
University of Phoenix.
Yes. And then I'll be there. I have to be there for both the AFTA and AFCA as the fire chief. So I'll be up there a total of, I think it's 9 days collectively.
The total was 218.92?
218.92. Plus hotel.
Plus hotel.
Yes. The $218.92 is your per diem at meals at 3 meals for $45 a day for $135. Your mileage to and from for $83.92 plus hotel.
And the 14th through the 16th.
For you guys. Yes, that Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You still get the per diem per state.
Okay.
Breakfast is provided also.
What is?
Breakfast.
Oh, the continental.
Yeah. All right. Go to any other questions, guys, for Chief on that one?
Just a quick comment. Would you make sure it gets on the next agenda for us to discuss?
Yeah.
And any questions, I'll hesitate to give you a call. I'm happy to go through those.
All right, going on to business, new business, discussion and possible action regarding 2016-2017 budget.
So we had our special meeting last Thursday on our budget for our draft budget. For just informational purposes to get it out there, we proposed a 5% increase for that. And, now is our time just process-wise. We have to post our draft proposed budget for 30 days in the local paper and approve that and get it to the county before the end of June. So we can move our June meeting back. Our next June meeting is on the 15th, which is typically where we approve our final budget. But we first need to approve our proposed budget and post that, and then at the end of 30 days, then we can approve our proposed budget and make it a final budget to submission to the county.
Could have a special meeting, right?
You have several. Okay.
I guess one of my concerns is that I'm not seeing where we can ever give the employees an increase in wages. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd have to take another 5% next year and probably the year after that from my perspective. Do you agree with that, or do you think you can work that in?
No, here's the thing that we have right now. If you look at what we spend on the budget for us and where we're at for our budget, so if you go to your consent agenda and go to page 45 of this month, for example, you'll see on our salary and wages, year-to-date we spent $452,733.34. And that was to put on our four people up to go, and that's on page 45 of your consent agenda.
Let's get to that. Okay.
So if you look to the end of April, again, on salary wages, we spent $452,733.34. $452,733.34. We originally budgeted $425,000, but was before we implemented the operational changes to go from two people to four people.
Right.
Now, that $425,000 and change had been there for several years with just manning two people. We were able to bring on a full-time chief and add two additional people for a total of four to go through that. As we've talked as part of our operational excellence plan, we don't have the right choreographed players in place to be successful right now. So we need to make operational adjustments to that. To do that, what that's caused us is to have four or five and sometimes six people on as we are training them. Captain Lopez, being in charge of facilities and equipment, has to train these new engineers because our trucks are different. Our expectations are much different. Our district is much different. We're a very diverse district as far as calls. So we'll run a difficulty in breathing, a car fire, a gunshot victim, and a structure fire on any given shift. So our requirements are very, very different here. So to bring those people on, we've had to put sometimes five and six people on. That's driven that cost up for us as well. As we've said many times before, we may have to go to three to get the five members as we go forward, as we continue to search for revenue streams to come in with this. So I guess it's a long way, Roger, to answer your question, but we can only grow by 5% per year.
Yes.
Currently, our max is at $3.25 on our mill rate. So we're at 307, I think, and change is our new one going forward. So 307. So we got a little bit of room to grow one more time. 3.0715. So we can grow in the district away is about one more time at 5%. And then like the other 97 now fire districts of the 154, we'll be at the cap.
Right.
And then you go for a special bond and go over two times. By that time, the cap is going to move to 350, and we'll grow for expansion to get there as well.
Okay.
I'm figuring off a 325, but we have, as we've said, four people in, but we continue to have open shifts, which causes me to work seven shifts, 24 hours a day. So we've got to get the square pegs in the square holes and the round pegs in the round holes, and that's going to take a modification of the existing 29 people we have on, to go back to maybe three per shift that are the right three and grow to that four. So that's what the strategic plan is built off of. If you look in your book under tab number five, of personnel for $480,000. That's built off of that plan, plus my increase as well,
right,
is put in there. Now, how we got there is we went through and we put all of that 5% in there. Plus, we went and saw how many operational excellence modifications can we make to the other buckets by doing things in-house and pull that down. There's a few more of that left, but I'm cautious on doing that because I still have to support the operational physical sides for the assets as well. But our goal really is to build to those three people that are the right people and then add that fourth position when we have the right fourth person in sight, not just fill it with a body that causes us to drive away from where we want to go.
Time frame?
Well, it's based on people.
I know.
So
yeah,
recruiting, I know, to go through with that, we can drop back to three at any given time. It just makes my load a lot heavier. So a lot of it is just trying to get that fourth person that I can sleep at night on an average basis and not run 24 hours a day, three or four times a week. And last night was a perfect example. We kicked out of the fire at 3:20. Right when we got to the fire, and we kicked out another medical call at, you know, a little bit before 4 o'clock. So it's just time. It's really what it is. So this fourth is a crutch to get us where we need to go operational wise. On the 11th, if we had two people, we would have no way been able to meet our fractile response time and goals. Those four people are meeting our operational goals now, but it's not part of our long-term worldwide plan to move forward. So it's that localized market now to go to a worldwide platform.
But what's your best guess then, Chief, on are we talking about all year being over budget because of that issue? Or
no, really, I hope to have it addressed in the first 4 months of the new budget.
Okay.
Now, we have to have our carryover that you'll see above in our revenue. That's that $168,000. That's our July, August, and September money. We always carry that forward.
Right.
That's what we spend until we get it. Statistically, we're seeing money late in the county in late September, but we'll always get it down, but we're kind of backed up from that standpoint. So maybe July, August, and September, we start looking at, can we do three if we don't have the right fourth person? So we're growing the new members that have started. Some have potential to be a shift lead for us, but they need time with Captain Lopez, they need time with Captain Etherington, they need time with Captain Hemmings and myself to make them a viable option for that fourth person on that.
Are there many of the crew still going to school? I mean, they're firefighters, mm-hmm. but are they trying to better themselves?
Yeah, most of them are. I would say that we have five that are going to paramedic school, which is a huge plus for us to go through. Of those five, three are our full-time members. Joel, who was here earlier, Jose Serrano, and Joseph Ortega are part of our three of our full-time members that will give us more flexibility to not fill another medic shift. Now they can fill a medic shift and we can get the right shift supervisor. And it's a numbers game. I mean, some people may look at it as a nut and shell game, but right now we have to take care of business today, but drive to get that right one in. What it's gonna affect is what we kind of talked about before, that the flexibilities that have been here for hours in the past are gonna become more restrictive. Because we need to ensure we get the right shift leads on to be successful.
You're basically going to set up three groups, and they will know a month in advance when they're going to work.
Yeah, those three people are already set up for the whole year.
Okay.
So they're already on our A shift, B shift, and C shift. A shift right now is made up of Marcus Brewer, Joseph Ortega, and Christina Reyes. B shift is ran by Captain Lopez. Nate Oliver is the medic. And Joel Powers is the firefighter. And on C shift, we have Dina Brady is our medic, Jose Serrano is our EMT, and Bill Brown is our engineer. So since we've met last, Captain Lopez and I were able to sit down and bring on two more engineers that allows him to have an engineer. He runs B shift on C shift and A shift, which is huge for us to get the right people on our equipment to be successful. So that's been a big move. Bill Brown is one of them. He's retiring from his job to take this position. He wants to grow with the organization. He was one of those people that could only work basically Saturday for us. So he's retiring from his job as a truck driver to come over. Christine Reyes was a stay-at-home mom who worked a couple shifts a month. Now she's going to work every third day. So that's a huge asset of getting the square peg in a square hole for us for the engineering part. This allows Captain Lopez, instead of coming in and having a plate full of work to do, to assign it to the other two shifts that he's off of. We now have a medic on all three shifts. Nate Oliver is our medic on B shift. Dina Brady is our medic on C shift. Marcus Brewer is our medic on A shift. And we have three firefighters, Joel Powers, Joseph Ortega, and Jose Serrano. So those are the nine, what I'm going to call solid people, we have to work every third day for us to be successful in a 24-48 window.
Every third day, or do they work 48-hour shifts?
No, they work a 24-hour shift, they're off 48.
Okay.
They work a 24, they're off 48.
Okay.
Now, the goal to that is we're under the federal 56-hour work week. So anything more than 212 hours in a 28-day pay period constitutes overtime. Every other month, plus a week, one of them will work 10 shifts in that 28-day pay period. 10 times 24 is 240 hours. Minus 212 hours means they're going to work 28 hours of overtime. So that's kind of built into the schedule. So until we get an ABC Kelly, which gives you that 9th to 10th shift off, we have to pay that overtime. That's just the growth model we're in. That fourth person would allow us to do that we can back up. We just don't have the other two shift leads is what's the roadblock for us now. And on different months, it lines up different ways. It's a dynamic world. Casa Grande, I think, day after tomorrow is going to from a 3-4 schedule to a 48-96 schedule. They work 2 days, they're off 4 days. They're on a 3-4, on a day, off a day, on a day, off a day, on a day, off for 4 days. So we're like, great, that'll help us synchronize with the Eloy schedule. They're a day off of each other. So now it convolutes that part. So between our Abra Valley schedule, our Casa Grande schedule, our Eloy schedule, and our schedule, we have some members that are only available 9 to 10 days out of all the working days in the month. That becomes very restrictive to cover those shift days. That's why we had 7 shift days open that we have to address to be strategically balanced and get the right leaders up front to drive the shifts, to have the expertise we need to put the right people in the right.
It's a good case for anybody can do it with money, right?
Well, it's interesting now. Money would help because we could sway people away from the full-time job.
Right.
We don't have PSPRS, and we're getting more fair and equitable on our wages. We have insurance, and we have benefits built in. But again, that was never in these buckets. So although we're close, we've doubled our manpower. We've provided workers' comp insurance. We've provided benefits to those people and providing educational opportunities. We never had any of that before.
Right.
So, I mean, I look at this. This is just a win-win-win for us going forward. The challenge is we're restricted on money to go forward, but we've got to make some modifications to our existing workforce to be successful to fill what we need now.
That's a great explanation.
It is.
Cool.
Thank you. Where
we're at. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Unrelated to the salaries and wages. I know it's not in here, or doesn't look like it's in here, but it looks like you're planning on doing the satellite with them. Is there an expected amount of money that's going to come into the district for that?
It is.
I mean, and I know it's not in here because you can't plan on something that's not there yet. But.
So that's one revenue source coming in that we're going to do. You know, we're going to get a flat fee per month of probably $600 to $700 a month. And basically a percentage of every membership he sells to get it out there on his fiber optics. Because I don't know when the fiber optics is coming down, there's no strategic business plan on when that's gonna come in. I haven't included that in the revenue streams for
right.
us, but it is one potential that could kick off as well.
Okay.
And I'm continuing to renegotiate. So we got our $10,000 from AT&T last month for the contract. That was something that was unbudgeted for. As a matter of fact, they had asked us to go the other way. Now we have an increase on that, and we have the new Verizon tower on, and we're trying to turn this room into an IFSEC training center, which would give us overall. Unfortunately, you know, right now I'm the only guy that can teach those IFSEC classes. So I need to train our people. I have to invest in them, just very much like this paramedic program, invest in them to be an IFSEC trainer under a master instructor. I'm one of two in the state. So we've got to be able to have more people take that training before we can offer this revenue class in as well.
Okay. What's your guys' thoughts regarding budget?
I think we have had excellent explanations of our questions. We might not like what it says, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we have no choice but to go ahead with it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that swayed me, I guess, is that sure, we'd like to have more money there in the salaries and wages so that way we can maybe hire, you know, someone to relieve Chief from working mad crazy hours and killing himself for this district. But and get our wages for our workers, our firefighters and stuff up. But at this point, we're kind of bound by that 5% increase anyway, and so there's not a whole lot more we can do than what's done.
I think it's important that we realize that we are obligated to our people to make arrangements for raises.
Yeah.
And basically, they went this year without any.
Yeah.
And it's wrong for us to spend money unwisely without that.
Yeah. What I will say is 3 of our members got increases this year throughout the year that went above and beyond, Captain Lopez being one of them. So we did give raises this year. The other thing we've done is we spent about $50,000 on paramedic class. So for those 5 students, we paid their $8,000 entry fee because they didn't have the finances to do it. We bought them in a 5-year contract to pay it back once they're done. And we're going to pay for their state boards and their certifications as well. And we allow them to work while they're taking that class as well, which I backfill that shift for them to do that. So if you look at those 5 people, that's an investment of $12,000. So that's about $6 an hour raise we gave to those five people that are taking that class. Because if you divide 12,000 by 2,080, it's roughly, well, it's actually $5.90. But it's almost a $6 an hour raise for us to have those people go through class. If they're going to CAC, it costs them about $16,000, their own time and vacation. We're paying those wages to make that happen, but we have a five-year buyback contract on them. We have one that's going through a CNA program to allow us to do our community paramedicine program, which is another revenue source for us. But I need a CNA. So Dina Brady is taking her CNA classes. It's the same thing for her. So it's another $6 an hour raise. So for, you know, our five people in the class, plus Dina Brady for the CNA, plus the other raises we've given raises to almost half of our staff or more. And it's almost everybody who is in our full-time program, as well as I negotiated with Wizard Education to use our paramedics as proctors for the class, as preceptors, to get wage pays for what they do for their people. So, but I had to pay for that to come out of the budget, but they see the benefit from that, I don't. I see the work, they see the money. So we have given wages. It hasn't been across the board, nor is I think that's the right thing to do to be successful. But what we have to do is get those square pegs and square holes and reward those ones that are hitting our operational excellence standpoints that are getting us to the upper quartile. And those are the ones that we've given raises.
Just because there are three of us that are new to this board and don't have the background with how this agency has operated in the past, I'm assuming that you have a range to work with as the chief, that the board sets a pay range that you work within. Is that correct?
No, the board has never set a range. That's an operational issue.
Okay.
They've just set the bottom line. How we spend that is in my operational strategic plan.
All right.
So that's not.
I guess that's one of my concerns. When I went through the personnel thing, I was a little unhappy with what I saw as the ranges, and I guess, and my background, you know, coming out of the corporate world, is take care of operations first, and then we take care of executives later. I have to say that I'm a dodo bird in the corporate life because that's no longer true, but that's where my feeling is, and that's where my training was at. So it has seemed uncomfortable to me to take care of the top, which we had to do, and it was no fault of anyone on this board that I can see, and certainly not your fault that they paid you significant, but we kind of started at the top, and now we're, from my perspective, hanging in there on the operations side, you know.
My only comment is, and your opening statement was exact. It's important that y'all know the history of the district and where we were 5 years ago and 10 years ago, and that growth pattern and budget growth pattern. You've got two excellent gentlemen back there in the back that can certainly give you some information as to where that is, and the chief as well. But from what I've seen the past 4 years, I think this district is just really moved forward in the right direction for the community. You know, I have to admit, having spent 20 years in the fire service, I'm a little prejudiced towards these guys and the job they do and the fire chief, and feel that they really need some good support from that end as well, but also realize that the citizens out there are the ones that fund the district, and we have to be very cautious about our stance on the budget every year. But the direction that the chief has planned and just the job that our personnel have done, I'm just overwhelmed at how things have changed for the better in this community. And it's all of them. They've done a wonderful job. And I think the community will support this board. I've seen a lot of support from the community increase the past two or three years and a big change in that area. So I think we're in a good position, and I certainly feel comfortable that, you know, down the road we're just going to be in a better position than we are today.
I do want to be clear, though, that every one of our 9 people have seen a raise this year that work full-time. Some have been significant raises, but you know, that's in a very financially challenging market we're in. We went from full cash value to limited cash value, which reduced our taxable basis. If you remember back, our district went up $802,000. That didn't happen on its own. That's because I was banging the books, looking for every property it wasn't in. Yes, 60% was River Source coming in. Remember, everything comes in 30 months later. But that had to be, somebody had to check with that with Paul Wolf. And we really banged those books to get everything in we had. For example, Eloy lost $6 million. Casa Grande lost almost $2 million. We gained $802,000. That equates at our mill rate of $2.78, approximately $32,000. That didn't happen on its own. That happened because we drove to make sure everything we had is there. We annexed another 20 properties, and we're growing up to get that. We got the county building. We're trying to grow west. So I'm trying to bring as much as we can into revenue. So we hired medics at higher rates than what we're hiring our standard medics at. Our shift lead saw an additional raise for that. Nate's driving our first aid and CPR program, which came with a salary increase to do that, with revenue coming back into the district, which will continue to grow that. Joelle's a recipient of the $12,000 for our paramedic program. Yes, there's a buyback for time, no money, just time for that, but as long as they worked 5 years after the program, we've invested $12,000 in that. If you look at all that, that's about $120,000 that came out of the budget and revenue sources coming in. So I'm a firm believer. I'm the first one on the field, I'm the last one off. I should be the last one to go in. The situation was a situation of what we had. So I was trying to fix that before you ever addressed my 1 year salary application. And we were really 12 months behind that for the original board members, is we were gonna have a 30-day review, then a 60, a 90, 180, three, never happened. And that's okay, and I took it to 1 year, and it gave me more time to give all these guys as much money as I could to go in. So I just want to be clear, we've seen salary increases. Okay. They saw it before I ever saw one.
With the homes behind Love's.
The Mountain View Estates. So we probably get a call a week on average from people that move in and say, hey, put me on your books because I'm a new resident. And we say, I'm sorry, but you're not in our fire district. Well, I have to be because I have an Arizona City address. No, you're not. So I've been negotiating with the state to get a release. We found out through the statutes we can get a release for either federal, state, and or reservation land to kind of work our way around to them and get them. I can't annex them unless I'm contiguous other than a roadway. So I can't use Sunland Gin Road to go up. If we can bring that in, that's approximately 300 homes, and we can do some auto aid for Casa Grande that has the big homes in the back side of the mountain, the big three homes. That's 300 more homes. But if you remember what I said, we won't see that money for 30 months.
30 months, yeah.
So I've got to be careful that I don't overpromise what I can deliver. So is it more advantageous for us when we start that to do a membership that they maybe pay in $300 to $400 a year to buy that in with some folks to go in? Then we become a salesman similar to regional fire and medical to go in. And what happens when the house that doesn't pay that membership starts to affect the house that is? You know, then we get to the thing going, I'm sorry, what's your address?
Yeah.
You've paid. We'll be there in a minute. We can't do that. So, but what it does is it opens up further financial opportunities for us to go up and grab maybe a section of the I-10 freeway, kind of go across or grab the other section. Maybe get close to, let's say, a Robeson Ranch and develop a better business model than they have. And maybe annex somebody like that in our subdivision. I don't know. We'll just have to see where that goes. Aggressive fire districts continue to annex land to try to get more money, sure, to drive more revenue. That's what we've tried to do.
Right.
And we'll continue to balance that out as well. So we're still working it. Right now, we are blocked from touching them by Eloy, but we may have some relief for some federal land to kind of get all the way around the horn, but we can get there.
Cool.
All right, so what would you guys...
I don't make the laws, I just try to follow them.
What would you guys like to know?
Thank you.
Do you all feel a need to
I feel better.
Have to further discuss it? want some time to sit on it, like we mentioned.
I feel a lot better.
I feel better about it.
About it, how he's planning it.
Yeah.
We meet every month, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Now, we have to meet before, we need 30 days in a newspaper.
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, if things start to go awry, we meet every month. I guess I will have to stand down on my objections to it.
Well, I don't see that there's much else we can...
It just seems tight to me, Jeff.
It's very tight.
You know.
It's very tight. And we need to come up with more revenue sources if we're going to continue with the four.
And you've always been my hero. I just want to say that. You've always kept us out of those waters, and I appreciate that. So, but we meet every month, and I guess I would say...
I would agree.
My thing is, you do the right things every day, all the days, the good Lord takes care of you. But, you know, even if you look through 430, if you go to the back of page 46, we're at 73% of our total operational cost. We've budgeted 8% per month. We're into the 11th, or this is the 10th month. 10 times 8 is 80. We're at 73%. Pepper and I figured it the other day. We've had the building payment, which is $60,000. The paramedic school, that's $50,000. And our insurance, that was never part of our budget for our people, which was shame on us for not having insurance. We're now at about 88-89% if you looked as of May 17th. So we're getting close to get in there. We have three payrolls left that are anywhere between $25,000 and $30,000. So we are going to pull out our capital reserves, which is what I've been telling each year every month. When we get to the 11th month, we're going to have to pull some money out of it. But again, it was growing those five or six people to get us there. So our 552, 874.21 is going to go down by the time we finish June, because we've got to pull about $100,000 out of there, exactly where we knew we would be, to buy in to get these people what they deserve to be successful.
Okay. You want to make that motion?
I make a motion to vote on this book.
Okay, second that.
So, Steve, sorry, just to be clear, we're voting on a
proposed
budget for 2016-17.
Okay. Make a motion.
Proposed budget. Okay, Steve Ross makes the motion to approve the proposed budget, and I believe I heard Roger Taylor saying that he would second that. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously, and so we will get that posted, I guess, to the newspaper, and then I guess at our next meeting we'll approve the final budget. Is that?
That is correct.
It's today, the 18th.
Yeah, so we meet again on
June 15th.
We need to move that then, right, for the 30 days?
Yes. Well, what we could do is we'll meet on the 15th for our normal meeting, and we'll have a special meeting to approve the final budget days.
Okay.
So we could do that.
Okay. We'll post it on?
We'll post it. We'll get it posted going tomorrow, but it won't be in paper for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're going to do the 30-day wait. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, June 15th at 6 p.m. The agenda items need to be in. I can't see it. By June 7th. And do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion. We adjourn the meeting.
No.
Oh, no, we haven't finished that.
We haven't finished that.
We got one in there.
Well, chairman's in a hurry.
No, I didn't see the elections in there.
He has dairy green on his mind.
It's not in the business. That's why.
Why is it?
It's not listed in the business.
I don't see it.
It's not on here.
It's not on there.
It's not listed. That's why I didn't mention it, because it's not listed.
Well, it would be under old business.
But it's not in the business.
No. Well, it's not indigenous, we can't talk about it officially, but I can meet after hours.
Okay. All right, so we had a motion to adjourn. Did I have a second?
I second.
All right, that would be Steve Ross seconding. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye